It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Psalm 118 and verse 24 says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it." Well, I hope you're rejoicing today, and I hope your hope has been placed in the Lord. And that's where all of our trust needs to be. We don't need to be trusting in the things of this world or the things that we even control with our hands. We need to realize that the Lord is the one who should be controlling our lives. Well, it is a good life, and it's good being with you once again. In just a few moments, we'll be looking into the book of Acts, chapter 16. Well, as we think of going through this life, there are certain things that we go through. We go through times of difficulty, times of turmoil, and maybe even some tribulation in our lives comes about. And we also see temptations that come along. And you know, what I see is this, and many times as a minister, I take for granted things that are right before me. And the Lord speaks to my heart and says, "Look, not everybody knows how to go to heaven." And may I say something like, well, this is something that you people have probably heard several times, many times over. I may think that, or I may even say that to somebody. But the Lord speaks to my heart and says, many people have not heard how to go to heaven. So therefore, today I want to share with you things about heaven, how you can get there. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, it says there, and we're going to read down through several verses here. In fact, we're going to go down through verse 31. Verse 25 of Acts 16 starts by saying, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. You see, all people want to go to heaven. When you ask someone, are you on your way to heaven? Most of the time they'll say, I hope so. I hope I'm on my way to heaven. But you know, it's an awful thing to die and go to a devil's hell. The Bible tells us that hell was created for the devil and his angels. God did not create hell for human beings. So, something must be done. Seeing that something must be done, the big question is this. What can I do to go to heaven? What can you do to go to heaven? Well, first of all, men and women cannot go to heaven as they are. There must be something that takes place in their life. Men and women must have a changed nature. A person must be changed from the natural to the divine. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, the Bible says, Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of, and notice this, the divine nature, having escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now that is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And then we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The question is asked, how do you become a new creature? In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And then those familiar verses, familiar to many of us, in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, heaven would be hell to a person without a changed nature. Men and women must have a nature to befit them for heaven. Heaven is a holy place. Now, in order to go to heaven, a person must not only have a new nature, but a person must have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Luke chapter 10, and in verse 20, it says this, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, we can have many things on this earth as a human being. We can be given awards and we can receive honors, and some are even rich. But Jesus told these people, He says, don't rejoice because of the things that you have, in other words, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In other words, don't be so high and mighty that you're rejoicing in the fact that you're about to do certain things because you have trusted Jesus as your Savior. But the verse goes on to say, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. It makes no difference who you are, where you are. You need to rejoice because your names are written in heaven, not because of the things you've accomplished here, and not simply bragging because you have been saved, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, the Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27 says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In order to go to heaven, a person must have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 7 of John 3, it says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Well, when is our name written in heaven? I say it is written in heaven when we are born again. When is it written in the Lamb's Book of Life? When we are born again. Now, in order to go to heaven, a person must be made a son, a child of God. Only sons, children of God, are going to go to heaven. Only God in the new birth can make you a son, a child of God. God is not the father of all men. He is the father of only those who have been born again, according to the scriptures. Don't believe the lie from the devil that simply because you're a human being, you're a child of God. That's not true. You become a child of God through the new birth. In John chapter 8, verses 41 through 44, it says this, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. You see, and these are the Pharisees and the Jews standing there tempting Jesus. And they're accusing in the verses that I've just read, accusing him now of being an illegitimate son. In other words, we know that Mary was a virgin. That's what they're saying. She conceived before she was married. So therefore, they're trying to say that Jesus was illegitimate. But Jesus goes on to say unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Well, why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. In other words, they weren't born again. They did not know God as their father. Notice what verse 44 of John chapter 8 says. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye shall, or you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Well, these scribes and Pharisees and Jews speaking to Jesus were speaking to him, and they were blaspheming God. And they accused him of being illegitimate, and they did this on many occasions. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. You see, these people should have known. These scribes and Pharisees, who were supposed to be well-versed in the Scriptures, knew it frontwards and backwards. They should have recognized him as the Messiah, because he was Emmanuel. He was born of a virgin. He was born of Mary. See, in order to go to heaven, a person must be made a son, a child of God. Well, when are we made sons or children of God? Well, it's when we are born of God. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him," that's Jesus, "to them gave he power to become the sons," or the children of God, "even to them that believe on his name." In order to go to heaven, a person must be made like Jesus. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Jesus said, in order for us to go to heaven, we must be made like him. And we also understand that in order to go to heaven, you must have God's Spirit. When we get saved, we receive the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And on the verses go. In verse 16 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" You see, when a person gets saved, they have the Spirit of God. They trust Jesus to save them, to take them to heaven. And when they do that, the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within that person. In order to go to heaven, you must have God's Spirit. And that happens the moment you trust Jesus as your Savior. In order to go to heaven, you must be made an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus, according to Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, where it says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." You see, there are many verses that continue on telling us that in order to go to heaven, a person must receive Jesus as Savior. Have you done that today? Have you received Jesus as your personal Savior? If not, may I invite you to do so right now. Bow your head where you're at. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. Ask him to save you. "Lord Jesus, I believe you came to this earth to die for me, to shed your blood for me. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. I receive you as God, as the Savior, as Jesus, as Emmanuel. I receive you as my Savior. I trust you to save me and take me to heaven." If you'll pray a prayer like that today, now, that prayer is not going to save you. It's Jesus who will save you. But if you mean it in your heart, if you're willing to go God's way through Jesus Christ, God will save you, and you can be sure of heaven. Why? Because God says you can trust him and that he will give you eternal life.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.